We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When we hit the playoffs, we weren't in a groove the way we were in 2020 or 2021. And without going back into that, you have to set yourself up in the regular season for seeding. And obviously you want the one, so you get that bye. And we were right there going to Cincinnati, and you know we lost. It is what it is. But there's a lot of people in this league that would sign up to be the number two seed because you know you're hosting – two games as long as you win, and a chance if one loses to host all three.
What's today, Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. What do we do on Wednesdays?
Apparently for me and you, we both golf on Wednesdays.
That's true.
Just coincidentally.
We're both hitting a golf simulator today.
Yes.
One of my first thoughts when the Bills season ended was, okay, it's golf season. And it's not quite golf
season.
No, it's like
4 months away, 4 months away.
Yeah, but, you know, the simulators will help. But I did immediately transition. You know, if you could see a pie chart or a graph of my brain, you'd see a big giant corner of it going from, like, Zubas, like, fade away, and it's just a picture of a golf course.
Yes.
So, you know, brain goes to golf a little bit. Excited for a golf season. Hopefully if we can get out and play as much as possible and get a beautiful summer. All
I was
that.
Scrolling past something with John Rahm yesterday. I'm like, not even going to look at it, not even going to click on it because I'm not ready for that. I'm ready for the simulator. I'm not ready to be picturing, you know, green golf courses and sunlight outside.
Are you
outside
ready
yet
to watch the LIV Tour on the CW?
I cannot imagine I will ever get to it.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like,
do I even know what chance? One, I don't have cable, so that's not going to happen. I guess I could figure it out. There's probably like a, is there a CW app?
Who knows?
Not every channel has an app.
No, that's true. That's
so
true.
The CW might not. Is it on Peacock because of that? I don't know.
Who knows? All these partnerships.
They're paying for that, right?
Yes, yes.
They're not just on the CW because the CW wanted them.
They're giving the CW
money to be on.
Yeah. Every time there's any sporting event on television other than an NFL game these days, I have to Google what it's going to be on first. I'm going to watch a Premier League game. Hold on. Where is it? Because you never know.
It's either USA.
Or Peacock.
Yeah.
Or Hulu. Or where can I find it? Where can I stream it? What channel is that channel? Yeah, I mean, it's in an effort to, you know, just streamline.
Well, this is why, this is why some of these streaming platforms, though, are nice. Because, like, the ESPN app. Like 80% of the time, I feel like I want to watch a game, whether it's basketball or hockey, I just go to the ESPN app and it's on there.
Yeah.
Really, hockey, unless it's a TNT game or a Sabres game,
it's
you know,
on
if
ESPN.
If you have the ESPN Plus subscription, you have it.
Yeah. You start watching Capitals games?
I did stay up to watch the entirety of last night's Sabre game.
Me too.
And then I'm in bed, like, okay, I got to throw something on to fall asleep to. I'm like, okay, I'll throw on Avalanche Capitals. So I watched maybe like a few minutes before, you know, nodding off. So it was on, though.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. It's good morning. Jeremy and Joe with you on a Wednesday. We'll start. I do want to start with the Sabres real quickly because we've got plenty to get to for the Bills. We'll talk to Joe Marino today of the Draft Network coming up at 8 o'clock on the Bills' end-of-season presser. Lots of stuff. So we'll get to the Bills. We've got lots of time on the Bills. On the Sabres, though. You know the thing that reminds me of the 06, 05, 06, and the 06, 07 Sabres? I don't know. Like, that's, what are you trying to say? Just when I tell you what reminds me, you might buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite player could be any one of, like, 10 guys.
That's good, yeah.
And that's something that when the 05-06 Sabres were around, everybody had a favorite player.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I love Talinder. Oh, I love Max.
Yeah.
I love Dumont.
Yeah, there were Greer guys.
Yeah.
There were Newmanin guys. Just, yeah, everybody had a guy.
Yep, because they were so fun to watch and so good that you had all these different players you could like. And with this team, I mean, man, Thompson, Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Tuck.
You could get to Olofsson because he scores important goals for them.
He is third in goals in the NHL in the month of January.
He's coming on.
Yep.
And for me right now, I want to say like the story of the team, there are a lot of stories. But for me, man, Dylan Cousins is turning into an incredible. He's not quite taking like the Thompson scoring leap, but he's definitely taking a scoring leap. And everything he does, he is a smart, skilled, determined, about to be signed to a big cornerstone contract guy, right? Like, they're going to give him 7 years and who knows how many million dollars because he's going to be up and there's no reason to slow play that. He is absolutely identifiable as someone they should want as long as possible. And last night, he scores the empty netter on a really nice, good, smart play. Like, take the pressure off right away. The Sabres they're up a goal and killing a penalty. Because Peyton Krebs took a penalty in the faceoff circle for hitting the puck with his hand.
After getting blasted into the boards by 3 minutes before that, by the way.
Yep.
His league.
It's crazy. And here's Cousins just to make a nice cagey play, put the game away, and on to the next.
And he's just below a point of a game. I mean, he's kind of quietly ahead this season. I'm sure that's happened nationally for him because Thompson is just like the story of the league this season. And by the way, he's doing that. Not to say Quinn and Peterka have not been good, because especially like their advanced numbers are still fantastic for the whole season. He's having this season playing with two rookies the whole year.
Yeah.
Like, he's not getting the benefit of Tuck and Skinner on his line. Like, would he be on pace for 100 points if he was playing with Skinner and Tuck this year?
Maybe. Right. He's the veteran of his line, and he just makes so many good plays. There's so much to like about Alex, or about, well, Alex Tuck too, but so much to like about Cousins, and so much to like about Owen Power.
Hear the dam burst. Right. Here we go.
Up and down the list. Like, the roster just has a ton of really good players and young players, and this playoff race that they're in, 3 points back with three games in hand.
Washington, who we really haven't even been thinking about lately.
No.
But they've lost a couple in a row.
Yep, two in a row for Washington that they've lost. And, you know, you're not going to climb into the Atlantic. We know that.
Right.
But the Metropolitan, you know, the Rangers are out there with 59 points. That's a good six ahead of the Sabres. But, you know, it's just someone in the Atlantic is going to fall out, and it might be a year the Sabres make it. It really might. I was checking moneypuck.com. And it lists the Sabres' chance to make the playoffs as exactly the same as the Panthers. Now, they're up on the Panthers by a point, and they have three games in hand.
Right.
But Money Puck puts them at the same odds as the Panthers. One thing we now have to get annoyed by, and, you know, maybe I'll go for a rant on this in, like, 2 months. Three-point games. Pittsburgh and Florida last night played the three-point game.
Yeah. I was watching that game, Florida, during the Sabres intermission. I think Florida scored with like 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on.
7-6 is the final in that game?
7-6.
7-6.
Probably a great game, though.
A two-point game. Or a three-point game.
Three-point game.
Yeah. So anyway.
But can I get greedy? Can I get too greedy to say, can I catch both Pittsburgh and Washington at some point this year so I don't have to play Boston in the first round and just get rolled?
Yeah, that's too greedy.
That's too greedy.
And
Boston is a machine.
Are they? Last time they played.
They are, but they're just for context, how good Boston has been this year.
It's amazing.
Their goal differential is plus 83. Dallas is second with plus 42.
Yeah.
Like, they are almost double number two in terms of goal differential.
I mean, I
bet against them last night.
I spent the last 5 months hearing how the team with the best point differential was so good, and then they lost. That's the Bills, sorry.
Right.
It was all about how good their point differential was, which is true, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stats on Boston, you're right. Linus Allmark became the fastest goalie ever to 25 wins in a season.
Yep.
So, yeah, things
probably
are going.
Probably win the Vezina.
Things are going well.
The Sabres, too, like, the reason they're in this right now, like, it could so easily, like, they could have lost that game last night. Like, the Blues got there, and they were getting chances down one, and they played overtime against Dallas on Monday, and Craig Anderson stood on his head for 20 minutes to keep them in the game. That's tenuous. I mean, if they come out with 1 point of that four instead of four, and then suddenly, oh, they're 6 points out, and it doesn't feel like they're really even in the race. But they're in the race because we were saying it for how long? They need the goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got two guys right now that are giving them the goaltending.
Giving good enough, yeah.
Like, Comrie is not going back in until one of these guys either stumbles or gets hurt. Because Anderson, if you look at, on Money Puck, actually, they have the chart for expected goals for. And Craig Anderson is 13th out of 65 qualifying goalies this year. And Lukanen is 20th. Like, they have two top 20 goaltenders right now
mm-hmm.
that are playing the way they are. And the way they score, I feel like the formula is working if their goaltending continues to play like this.
The way they score, they lead the league with 17 five-goal games. Number one in the NHL.
Yeah.
17 games
insane.
In which they've scored five or more goals. So the phrase that Granato sometimes uses, I've heard Paul use it too, they outscore their problems. And, you know, they don't need their goaltenders to be incredible, just keep it alive for a little while, and the Sabres are going to get a goal because they almost always do.
Right.
So a great couple of wins for them. Dallas, and then last night St. Louis, and, I mean, you know, Tage Thompson revenge game. That's the other thing that's happening. You know, mentioning Cousins, one other box to check, which this has been being checked for a while, so this is not exactly breaking news, but one of the main things I was hoping the Sabres could get this year was Tage Thompson, the playmaker. I mean, he had...
Yeah.
Gone nine games with only one goal. And, you know, there's a little bit of a, I wonder what's going on with his goal scoring. But along the way, he would continue to make plays and get assists. Last night, a goal and two assists.
Yep.
He, last year, Thompson had 30 assists. This year, he has 33.
He's already topped it.
Already topped his total from last year. And last year was his breakout year. So,
He's on pace for 58 assists this year.
Good enough. It's doubling his number. And to be a number one center on a top line, you've got to have that. And if your goal scoring kind of dries up or you go in a nine-game drought, is your line still making a difference and still making plays? And the answer for Thompson in that line is yes.
Well, and they're not just two, like, their secondary assists. I mean, some of them I'm sure are, but, like, that play he makes to Skinner last night.
The game,
that awareness of, Skinner is flying down the slot. I'm just going to leave this for him.
The game winner to Owen Power is a beautiful play to get him over on the doorstep for the winner in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd been a little bit of a dry spell for Thompson, but even in that scoring drought where he had one goal in nine games and last night he scores, two assists against Dallas, one against Anaheim, one against the Islanders, one against Nashville, one against Seattle. You know, only had two games in the last 10 without a single point. So,
right.
It sure looks like sustainability. It sure looks like what the Sabres have is something really nice. We'll talk to Sabres head coach Don Granato tomorrow at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with their trip and the Bills end of season presser. We kind of move things around from his usual Tuesday spot to a Thursday, so we'll get to Don Granato at that point. And a playoff appearance for this team would be, it would end one of the longest droughts in sports.
I think it's going to be the longest drought in sports if they don't, because I'll check the NBA standings. The last time I looked, the Sacramento Kings were the longest playoff drought in professional sports.
Seattle. They went from 2001 until
the Mariners just made it, though.
I didn't know you were talking about active.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings are third in the Western Conference. So if that holds, Sabres are fighting to not have the longest playoff drought in sports.
Aren't the Jets also knocking on the door?
They might be the same year as the Sabres or the year after.
2010?
2011.
The 10-11?
Is their last one, which is the same as the Sabres.
But yeah.
They would have made the playoffs later in the year than Buffalo, I guess.
I searched longest playoff droughts in sports, and some of them are not the active droughts, but just the all-time longest drought.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who had the longest drought in North American
ever?
Sports history? Yeah. How long was it?
How long was it?
How long?
I was going to guess like the Cleveland Browns have it.
Close. It's the Cleveland, now Guardians.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's got to be at least 25 years.
From what I'm looking at here.
I mean, the Mariners just went, 21 without it?
Yeah, I think the Cleveland Guardians might have gone I'll double check this, but 39 years from like the in the middle. Well, in baseball,
39.
There was a long period of time where baseball, four teams made it.
Okay, right.
It was really hard.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a year. I mean, a lot of baseball fans remember a lot of years like this, but I want to say 93 or 94, where the San Francisco Giants had 103 wins and did not make the playoffs because the Braves made it with 104 in the NL West.
Uh-huh.
Baseball, yeah, it used to be, and it's kind of amazing to think about that. Imagine a league with 32 teams and four make the postseason.
Wow. The yeah.
Like, that's so different from what our sports give us now, where every year they're adding teams. The NBA is up to 10 teams making it in each conference, basically, right? You've got the play-in series.
Right.
So the top 10 in each conference are making it in the NBA. In the NHL, they're still at 8. They'll probably expand that soon enough. In the NFL, I've got 7 on each side. And baseball had 4 total.
By the way, the Jets, I guess, they're tied in the list I'm looking at. But the Jets played the playoffs in 2011. It wasn't the 2011 season.
Okay.
So the Sabres would have played their last playoff game like 3 months after the Jets. The Sabres, by the way, I'm looking at the same Wikipedia page you are. And the Sabres have the all-time leading playoff drought in the NHL.
Yep.
But wasn't the NHL the opposite of Major League Baseball? Like, everybody got in for like 20 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, 6 teams missed the playoffs from like through the 70s and 80s.
There was a stretch where there were 21 teams and 16 made it.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the Kings at 16, the Jets at 11, the Sabres at 11, the Phillies are at 10 years, Tigers are at 8, Angels. A lot of these are baseball droughts. It's not crazy to see that of the top, I mean, you just mentioned Seattle's gone, but of the top 10 playoff droughts, half of them are baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Denver Broncos have the second longest in the NFL behind the Jets. Jets at 11.
Yes.
Who would you bet to end their drought first, the Jets or the Broncos?
Ooh, the Jets. Definitely, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They just need a quarterback.
And all
the Broncos are stuck with a quarterback.
Yeah, the Jets need a quarterback, and I don't know if the NFL media machine is going to spin it into existence, but Aaron Rodgers to the Jets has been nonstop for 48 hours.
I'm seeing a Photoshop every time I open Twitter.
Yeah. And his comments about leaving Green Bay, how he'll always love the fans. He might have to rework his deal in order to make something work.
Namath last night, did you see that?
No.
Joe Namath said he would allow the team to unretire number 12 if they can get Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Like, they're already going down that rabbit hole. Namath's like, do it. I'll give him number 12.
Would he want 12? Probably.
Rodgers? Sure he would.
It wouldn't even be that different of his jersey. It's still green. A green and a 12.
It's green and white. You're just taking the yellow away.
He's like painting the trim differently.
Yeah.
You know? Rodgers on the Jets.
Does he like the idea of like emulating Favre, though, for any reason?
That's a good question if he would connect the dots there.
Yeah.
And
because Favre went to the Jets.
Yep. He went to Minnesota first.
No, he went Jets first, then
he
Minnesota.
Did. Wow,
yeah.
Man. It's hard to believe how long that guy played.
Yeah. Someone was doing some history on that yesterday, and I was surprised to see that it actually maybe went better with the Jets than I remembered. They were 8-3, and then he tore some muscle in his shoulder, and then they kind of collapsed at the end.
Hmm.
But yeah, 1 year with the Jets. So we think Roger would like the idea of kind of copying Favre?
I don't know if he would. He probably wouldn't like it.
Would he like the idea of doing what Favre did, but doing it better?
I bet he, who knows what he's thinking. He probably just wants a chance to win, and
he thinks the Jets are probably the best chance he's going to get at that.
He's got a stud defense and tons of weapons.
And talent on the offensive line, but we'll see. So, yeah.
Yeah. If the Jets get Aaron Rodgers, how's the division? What if the Jets get Rodgers and the Dolphins get Brady?
Oh, my God. Well, long-term, I feel pretty good.
Yes.
Long-term, I feel pretty good because there's 2 40-year-old. Is Rodgers going to be 40? Brady's going to be 46, which is insane. I think Rodgers is going to be 40, maybe. I'd feel pretty good long-term.
Yeah, Rodgers, his birthday's in December. He'll start the season at 39, turn 40 during the year.
Okay. I mean, they're a playoff team,
yep,
for sure. They could win the division with Aaron Rodgers, couldn't they?
Yeah, probably.
I feel like they could. The way Bean sounded yesterday, too, like the whole time that press conference was happening, one, I kept yelling internally about T. Higgins instead of Jamar Chase when he was making the receiver points. But two, was this sounds like a general manager that, or this sounds different. It just sounds like it's going to be a different offseason, and we're not going to be able to go into next year saying this is the most complete roster in football. The Jets might be in that conversation for the most complete roster in football. It's not crazy to think if they get Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact that his production went down last year, they could win that. They could challenge the Bills for the division, realistically.
Would it be crazy to say that the most complete roster in football is something you shouldn't even aim for anyway?
I was thinking that the other day. Like, doesn't it just matter how many stars you have versus how many... Who's the better team? I've got 7 star players, but 4 holes on my roster. You've got no holes on your roster, but 3 star players. Wouldn't you rather be the team with 7 star players?
Probably. If you're looking at the teams that have been the best teams in the last 5-6 years, have they been the most complete rosters? I mean, the Bills have been one of those teams, so yes.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs have made it farther. They're not a more complete roster.
The Bengals made the Super Bowl with, like, the worst offensive line in football.
And, you know, there's a little bit... I was thinking about this the other day, watching the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Family Feud style. If you went up to 100 sports fans and said, name a Chiefs defensive player, how many could do it?
They're all going to say Tyrann Mathieu, who I don't
Who's
even
gone.
Think... He's not there anymore.
Tyrann Matthew's gone. Maybe you're talking about Chris Jones.
Right, they might get to Chris Jones.
And then who?
But not many are going to get Chris Jones even, I think.
No.
Yeah, who's beyond that?
Who's next? Is it George Karlaftis, the rookie?
Is it Frank Clark, just because he's a veteran?
Clark. Okay.
Like, name a linebacker. What percentage of Bills fans could name a Chiefs linebacker? Zero. Your instinct was zero.
I've got one. Reggie Ragland.
No, come on.
He was at one point. I don't think he's there anymore. That's like the last guy I remember playing linebacker for the Chiefs is Reggie Ragland.
Yeah. He's a Brown now.
Okay.
But you're right. He was on the Chiefs. The Chiefs were not the most complete team in football. Were the Buccaneers the most complete team in football? They're pretty good, right? When Brady first got there?
Yeah.
They had the weapons, they had the great defense, they had the O-line. But, no, the point is valid that you don't need to be the most complete team in football. You just need to have the best collection of talent and one of the best quarterbacks.
Well, once you get to where the Bills are, you might have to make a choice. Like, that's what Brandon Bean's got to do. Make a choice. Where do you want to be better? You got to get better on defense. You got to get better on offense. You got to get... The Bills are a team that still focuses on specialists with special teams. And where do they want to be better? Offense? Defense? Where do you want to put your resources? Because it is up to you. You can view this as a bit of a fork in the road. Pour assets into your offense. And maybe, you know, we've got a bet on the board, you and I. Does Sean McDermott ever have a bottom 5 defense? Bottom 10 defense. And I have no. Well, if they decide to sink every piece into their offense, maybe they drift to the middle of the pack defensively. And I would ask myself, could McDermott stomach that? Could McDermott handle being on a team that's defense is just okay?
Right.
My guess is
essentially if they have a weak unit, will it ever be the defense? That's the nature of the bet, right?
Yeah.
And I get why that is. I made that bet more just because of how long I thought McDermott was going to be here, more than he would stomach that, like you're saying.
Right.
Because I don't think he... I don't see it.
Right. He might be here for 10 years. 10 more years.
Right.
And you have maybe have a good spot that he finishes 20... They finished.
They just, like, 1 year, have
20
injuries.
22nd on defense because, guys leave.
Right. So, I don't know. I feel like, Poyer is probably going to walk. Right? Like, didn't that kind of sound that way yesterday?
They did say they would love to have him back, which could just be, we'd love to have him back, but we know we can't.
Right. Edmonds, we'll see, but all the talk of the cap and not really knowing where it is, but, like, whether or not they'll be able to pay guys, and the thing that was telling to me when Bean was talking about Edmonds was, I think it was Sal brought up the franchise tag, and Bean went to, it's going to be tough to work in. Because of how high the cap is on the franchise tag. And I know the franchise tag would be higher than what you might think Edmonds would get in a long-term deal. But if he's sounding like franchise tag's going to be tough just because we don't think we can fit that in. I mean, what's Edmonds on a long-term deal? Is it $2 million less? It can't be that much less, right?
Oh, it's way less.
You think it's way less?
The franchise tag for linebackers is $20 million.
Oh, because of the pass. That's right. I'm forgetting the pass rusher part of that. That's
so
right.
It's projected to be about $20 million. They can't give that to Tremaine Edmonds.
That's right.
He might even sign it. I mean, if you are Tremaine Edmonds and you go out and sign a guaranteed deal for multiple years, you're going to get more than $20 million guaranteed. But $20 million is still probably...
It's the Roquan Smith. It's the highest paid linebacker in football,
yeah,
isn't it?
50% higher than what he's going to get? He might get 13. Spotrac puts him at 11. I think a lot more people might expect him to get maybe 13, 14.
Yep.
I mean, on the open market, you're going to get a bunch. Maybe he goes the Milano route and just stays. But,
yeah.
I mean, Sean McDermott said he had his best year. Anyway, there's a lot I want to get to from that press conference, and some of it starts with Ken Dorsey, who is, I'm going to go ahead and say, pretty much back for year two. The way Bean basically said year two. And we'll talk about that a little bit because, you know, some of the stuff they said makes sense. And I think Brandon Bean's tone yesterday of not really panicking is a good tone to have from your GM because they are a really good team and they probably shouldn't panic. The question is, you know, where do you go from here? And Dorsey appears to be a part of that. I want to get to one specific part of what he said about Dorsey when we get back. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on the Bills, on the Sabres, you know, 3 points out of a playoff spot. But we'll take your calls. Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio, both in the 7 o'clock hour. Joe Marino of the Draft Network breaking down what the Bills should do from here. And a theory on Leslie Frazier for you as well when we get back here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ken did a lot of good things. Our offensive numbers are good. Like any time you go through something the first year, I'm sure he felt at times like he was drinking out of a fire hose. You're dealing with different things. But Ken is a hard worker. He's smart. And you got a guy who played the position at a very high level, you know, won national championships on a major college team. And that's an asset, too, knowing what, in this case, Josh is going through. And so Ken will be very self-critical. We'll all put our heads together.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on Ken Dorsey. Okay, a couple thoughts on Ken Dorsey. Likely returning as the offensive coordinator. So, you know, drinking from a fire hose, Bean's talking there about a first-year play caller. He even mentions, I'd like to think I'm a better GM now than I was in my first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all those points are good and fine and fair. There is one problem, or if I could make a little note in your program here. If you're going to do it this way, it's going to be a rotating cast of characters at offensive coordinator. We kind of know that, right? With a defensive head coach. So here are the potential scenarios for Dorsey next season. He does really well and gets a job, or he's not good enough and he leaves. And now that's 2 years on an offensive coordinator where if you're bringing guys in as first-time play callers and giving them a season of growth, if it went better, they leave. Ideally, you're so good, you leave right away. Secondary to that is, okay, not exactly great, we'll let him grow, and then he leaves. If he does grow, will he leave? You know, like
eventually.
Yeah. Right. It was kind of amazing that Brian Daboll stayed as long as he did.
Yeah.
For a guy that called a good offense for multiple seasons and grew a quarterback, helped to grow a quarterback, and Josh Allen. Daboll, I thought Daboll would be gone long before he was, and, you know, here we are.
It was a surprise he was their coordinator that final year.
Yes.
In 2021.
Yes, I would agree. And for Dorsey, I mean, I'm not sure if the clock is ticking on him next year. One of the things Bean did talk about is he said the same thing a lot of you out there and us have said about this Bills team, which is they didn't have it down the stretch. They didn't look like the best team. Bean said it, right? Like, after the bye, something wasn't there. And the bye was week 7, The bye was not late in the season.
No.
So here you are evaluating an offensive coordinator that started gangbusters and then...
maybe got figured out
or
a little bit.
Whatever happened, it dried up. The new ideas didn't produce results on the same level when they started. So you have half a season of being disappointed with how the offense looked, and you're bringing it back for year two. Okay, there's going to be growth. Does he get a full season? Is he on and making a change at coordinator could be a move for them in October next year if things aren't going well?
Like mid-season? Maybe. But does it depend who else is on the staff? Does it depend if Joe Brady is still here? Like, would they be more willing to do something like that if he does not go to the Chargers or the Jets?
Which is something that's interesting to think about, because I want to say Adam Schefter, maybe Ian Rappaport, whoever first reported the Jets pursuing Joe Brady's, and I feel like the report about the...
The Joe Brady Jets report was from Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
And he ended it with, it's unclear if Brady would take it given how much he loves Buffalo.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. And the other report about him with the Chargers kind of said something similar. Unclear if he would take it. So Brady getting this interest for these offensive coordinator jobs, does he see himself as maybe I should hang here? I mean, again, like they're a team, so he's not trying to undermine Ken Dorsey. But either A, Dorsey's going to get a job because things go well, and then he's up next to work with Josh Allen. That's the thing. Like, if you want to be an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach, what's a more attractive job, the Jets' job or the Chargers' job? Justin Herbert, obviously, is way better
Chargers
than anybody that the Jets have to offer for now.
Yeah.
And then if it's Aaron Rodgers, well, maybe that's a good debate. So Dorsey comes back. We spent a lot of the season talking about this Bills team not trusting rookies, and if a rookie makes a mistake, he's got to sit for a while. You had a rookie offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I just find it interesting that they're talking about growth, because they did make this decision to go to a first-year play caller at offensive coordinator in a Super Bowl window. This is a decision they've made, and they must like him enough to stick with it, which I don't have a major problem, Joe, with them keeping him on. But I would also think if they wanted to move in a different direction, it would be totally reasonable.
I wonder where they think, what do they think growth is? Taken aback a little bit at how much I heard in the last couple of days, frustration that they didn't use Nyheim Hines more on offense. Like, I get it. You traded for him, and he had, was it 11 touches on offense, 13 touches on offense?
Both the coach and the GM brought that up.
Yeah, and Bean talking about, Bean brought Hines up unprompted when there was a question about weapons. And, you know, do we need to get better in terms of weapons? And he went to Hines and, well, full off season, you know, more incorporated with the offense, the playbook, more familiar. And to me, if that is the criticism or if that is the nitpicking they're going to do with Dorsey this offseason is, hey, get this guy involved more. Like, come on, that cannot be the idea of where the growth needs to come from is, hey, get this running back more dump offs or more screens. The Hines stuff the last couple of days has really taken me back. But I don't know. I feel like second-year play caller, I can listen to it. I can understand why. Okay, he could learn things this offseason, evaluating what just happened in his first year as a play caller, and be better at it next year. And that's, again, assuming he wasn't good at it this year. I mean, I think he was fine. There's a lot of defenses of Dorsey out there. Was he perfect? I would not make that case. But I don't feel like it was so bad that it's absurd to think that he's going to get better next year.
Get some phone calls in, 803-0550. Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, what's up?
You know, one of the things I think that Bills fans might look at right now, and it might seem a little daunting, is the number of needs. You know, we're probably going to need a safety with, depending on what happens with Hamlin and Poyer being gone. We're thinking wide receiver. We're thinking, you know, linebacker if Edmonds leaves. We're thinking, you know, offensive line. But sometimes it only takes one player to change everything. You know, if you could, and I don't know how they accomplish this, but if you get a starting left tackle and you can move Deion Dawkins either to right tackle or to guard, all of a sudden everybody's slotted correctly. And one player contains the whole dynamic of the team. Like, I don't know how you do it, but what if Diggs was the number two or 2A, where you have a guy that's slightly better than Diggs or right on par with Diggs. We'd be happy with Davis at 3 and Shakir at 4 and McKenzie at 5. That's an adequate wide receiver position. You don't need 3. You just need 1 to be slotted in the right spot.
I mentioned this actually to Joe and Howard off the air yesterday about targets.
Yeah.
And there was also, I'm going to go ahead and find this, because last night there was a good thread and a good point, I thought, from some NFL person that I'm going to have to find right now. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. If your offensive weapons aren't comparable to the final four teams left, Niners, Bengals, Eagles, Chiefs, you are behind. And I think the Bills are behind all those teams. You might say the Chiefs is not a great weapon set, but it's more diverse than the Bills.
It's deeper, too, than the Bills. They tried.
Yes.
Right? Like, they signed Juju Smith-Schuster. They signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Then traded for Kadarius
Toney. Those guys were both cheap. The Bills could get signings like Schuster.
Sure. That was like $8 million.
Oh, yeah. Like, those two guys were cheap. They have Kelce, who's a Hall of Famer, and they run the offense through him. He gets the ball every game 20 times. Not quite. But you know what I'm saying. And to that point about the weapons and Diggs, the Eagles. So in game one of the season, A.J. Brown had 13 targets to Devonta Smith's 3. Mm-hmm. And since then, they've been about even. They have 2 receivers that they target like number ones. You cannot simply just take out A.J. Brown for the Eagles because they've got Devonta Smith on the other side. Their number 2 receiver is a Heisman Trophy winner in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and this gets to a lot of the Hill and Waddle stuff. Tyreek Hill, you know, the Bills love to try and take him out of a game. How did they play against Hill? Not bad. How did Waddle do? He got open all day against the Bills. That's in Miami. That's here. Multiple games, right? He had a deep play that split the Bills in week 3.
Mm-hmm.
He had a touchdown, a catch and run by the safeties in the second matchup. And in the third one, he dropped a couple spots where he was open down the field.
Right.
Jalen Waddle routinely got open against the Bills, where they just focused on Hill and the other guy could beat you. And for the Bills, you know, whether we're talking about low percentage throws or we're talking too much about Davis, the Bills don't have a number 2 receiver that is a number 1. The goal should be not to have a number 2. It's kind of what Jerry says here. The goal should be to find as close as you can as your second number 1 and have 2 ones. And that'll also go for, you know, as you're going to point out a lot going down the stretch, Joe, when Diggs starts to age out, his age 30, 31, 32 year, you already have somebody that you feel is really, really good as a part of your weapon set. So they need a lot. They're going to want to rebuild the offensive line. They're probably going to focus a lot on the defensive line. I'm good with that. I'm going to mention wide receiver approximately 2 million times between now and the draft. That doesn't mean I want them to neglect the rest of the team. It just means that I need them to identify that this was a problem for them this year.
Yeah. And also, this is where I mentioned yesterday, like when Bean would get asked about the weapons and, you know, trying to be more like the Bengals when it comes to just they are overwhelming when it comes to pass catchers. And he went to talking about Ja'Marr Chase. And I'd love to get Ja'Marr Chase, but I don't want to suck for, you know, a year or two and be picking 5th overall. To me, you can look at all of these teams that are left right now and look at, not all of them, because I think the Eagles are the one team where they got, you can't really replicate how they did it. They got Devontae Smith, what, like 11th overall? They got him at a place in the first round where the Bills would have a very hard time getting to. And then they traded for A.J. Brown and gave him a monster contract. We really can't do either one of those things. But look at the other three teams. The other three teams all have weapons that are significantly, to me, better than the Bills after the number one guy.
Yeah.
And how did they get them? The Bengals got their number two guy, T. Higgins, in the second round, 33rd overall, which for the Bills might be like their first round pick because it's only a few spots above. But a second-round pick is how they got their guy. And Boyd, by the way, if you want him, he was, I think, also a second-round pick way back when. The 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, was 25th overall. He was a late first-round pick, right where the Bills are going to be drafting. The Chiefs, I don't know which guy you'd call their number two, but it's probably Juju Smith-Schuster. Again, one-year, prove-it type contract, free agency, not big money. And if you want to say it's Kadarius Toney, which I'll listen to because he is dynamite when he is healthy, that was a third-round pick. Like, the Higginses of the world, the Boyds, the Tonys.
You didn't mention Debo.
I didn't mention Debo. He was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick.
Like, those players are attainable. But they're only attainable
if you try. If you take
them. Yeah. I forgot who was debating with me yesterday on Twitter, one of the guys from Football Guys. Like, who did you want them to take in the second round last year? I just want them to take anybody in the second round pick. Like, you can't get lucky if you're not buying the lottery ticket.
Yeah, or you just want them to take them with a first round pick. Christian Watson. Right. Or trade up, like the Chiefs traded up for their guy. And he didn't even, I mean, Sky Moore's not made a huge difference for them, but whatever. Like,
but they tried.
The second round, the late first and second round is actually a really sweet spot for all of the receivers in football that are good. DK Metcalf is there. You mentioned Debo Samuel, Deontay Johnson.
Ayuk, we just mentioned.
Ayuk,
is a late
you
first.
Mentioned. Michael Pittman. Right? You actually do, when you pick late like this, and maybe that this is some sort of correlation between teams that pick late first round are good and probably have good quarterbacks, so the receivers, you know, they can kind of blossom.
Yep.
But first and second round, it is actually a very sweet spot to get your receiver. No, you're not going to get Larry Fitzgerald or Jamar Chase. But
well, sometimes you might, as you mentioned, you might get A.J. Brown or right, DK Metcalf right, or Debo Samuel or who is the other? Deontay
Brown.
Johnson.
Right, right. Yeah, so I'm with you.
Michael Pittman? These are all second-round picks.
It was a little odd to latch on to, I'd love to have Jamar Chase. Well, you don't need Jamar Chase. You need any one of the 10 guys we just mentioned would make this offense much, much tougher to play against. And, of course, an offensive line. Help at the right tackle spot. To Jerry's point, he said, you know, draft a left tackle or get a number one left tackle, move Dawkins to the right side. Why not just get a right tackle? And he went, you know, it's interesting. Like, he went being far to defend Spencer Brown yesterday and talk about how, you know, back injury.
Didn't really have an offseason.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. Spencer Brown has, you know, comes out of.
He also brought up, like, the social media film evaluators and whatnot when talking about Spencer Brown.
Hmm.
That, like, it's easy to kind of look at the film and, like, evaluate him, but, right, that's when he gave that context. He did throw in there, which he might have done with anybody, that, like, he's got to, like, there'll be competition.
Yeah, yeah.
But, right, he didn't sound like he's going to be so quick to replace Spencer Brown.
Which, they didn't really do that this past offseason. I think, you know, it's a very small point of our draft coverage, but I remember asking several times, should we be talking about right tackle, or do you think they're just going to be happy with Spencer Brown? And they were pretty much happy with Spencer Brown. They brought in Quessenberry, but they didn't bring in any sort of, you know, high commodity tackle.
Right.
803-0550. My theory on Leslie Frazier, I want to see if you think if it's right when we get back. And then Paul Hamilton at 7. We'll get a little bit on the Sabres, who have back-to-back wins on the road after beating St. Louis last night. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR.
Played off the boards by Dylan Cousins in a backhand to the empty net. He shoots. He scores. Dylan Cousins with the empty net. And the Sabres' fifth goal of this game with 59.8 seconds remaining in the third period.
Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton coming up top of the hour. You think Frazier's back? Sean McDermott did not want to talk about assistance 2 days ago. Then yesterday, Brandon Bean says Dorsey going into year two. So Dorsey has been addressed by the GM. I don't think he would do that unless he knows he's coming back.
Yep.
I mean, if Dorsey were to get fired at this point, I would be shocked because the GM, I mean, he doesn't just flippantly throw things out there.
Nope.
So I'd expect him back. And Frazier was not mentioned by Bean. I think Frazier's back.
And you'd bet no? You would bet no?
I'm going to bet no.
I think I lean yes. I very slightly lean yes. His contract being up, I mean, it makes it easy if they want to move on from him. I don't know. The way McDermott talks about him, the way the players talk about him. I mean, Matt Milano is showing up to games in those T-shirts Von Miller wears. It's like he's like wearing the Leslie Frazier shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd lean yes because I think he's probably very, very respected and popular in that building. And their defensive results in 5 years have been great. Not with the, you know, the last couple of games that ended the season, notwithstanding. I mean, is that the argument for why you don't bring him back? It's just the two games that ended each of the last 2 years. It's 13 seconds, the debacle that was that final drive.
It's the game before that. They gave up 38, mm-hmm. right?
They gave, by the way, you said it yesterday, they make two stops in that Chief playoff game last year.
Yeah.
And then against the Bengals, they allowed 30 first downs. I mean, I guess that's the argument. It's not what he's done as a whole for 5 years. It's 2 years in a row, season's ended because we've played these big challenges, the Bengals and Chiefs, and have not been able to stop them.
It's the point people make about Tony Dungy in Dallas, or I'm sorry, in Tampa. Yeah, he gets you this far. Can he get you the rest of the way?
Or is Frazier the gap there? Is Frazier the guy who can't take you the rest of the way?
And I probably don't think he is, but last year the special teams coordinator had to go. This time around, it just wouldn't surprise me. I think I might bet that he would. 803-0550, more of your calls. On the other side, we'll get to Paul Hamilton, talk a little about the hockey team, who is pushing forward, 3 points out of a playoff spot, three games in hand, and sitting right there in the nine spot. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.